back to Hagman and Hagman Report. I just clicked on SkyWatchTV.com, went to SkyWatchTV.com, clicked on the We Did Your Holiday Shopping for You there. Biggest giveaway in SkyWatch history, under $40. You get this $400 worth of merchandise. And the Sharif Imperative, Dr. Michael Lake, I happen to write the foreword to that. That's a fantastic book, folks, as well as Abaddon Ascending. And just have at it. There's your Christmas shopping. Really. Before we get back to Tom Horn, SkyWatchTV.com, and Steve Quayle, TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. That's TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. You know, one of the hardest things in the world to do, at least in my view, is to hire the right candidate or select the right candidate to hire. Are you hiring? Do you have a small, medium, or large business? If you are, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Well, I found the best place. Posting your job, let me just say this, posting your job in one place is not enough to find the quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. Now you can, with ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy to use interface. Their dashboard is fantastic. It takes all of the work out of everything. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the best person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. Right now, listeners to this broadcast, you can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter.com for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's right. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Steve Quayle from SteveQuayle.com and TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. Steve, True Legends of the Series this is really relevant to all of this that we're talking about as well. Abaddon Ascending and all of this, everything you're doing for the series, and even today, what you haven't told anyone about, man, it's all this is all coming together. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, it is, Doug, and it's coming together for a purpose. I think with the equation that bringing Tom's research and my research together, I'm going to be dealing with a lot of stuff I've never written about before. The stuff that Tom's going to be dealing with and is writing about is going to be, I think we're going to be somewhere between two and, each part of the book will be 300 pages, so I think we're looking at about 600 pages total. So, when we say it's voluminous, I know, Tom, you say the same thing I do. I said, this is the last time I'm doing this, and I've learned that the word last only applies to us and not to God. He has a sense of humor. But this is a major undertaking. What I'd like to share, Doug, is if you look at the hub on a bicycle wheel, all the spokes lead right into that hub or the nexus of it, and I think that what God is going to do with the release of the book, with the release of the film, obviously documentary, is tie it all together. And if anybody's honestly looking at the stuff, and the quality, I'm telling you, is off the charts. Those of you who saw The Unholy Sea, and I would recommend everybody go to TrueLegendsTheSeries.com and get that. You'll need number two more than ever to understand number three, though the information will stand alone. It's let me make it simple. All the kings of the earth in the last 6 months have gone to Antarctica or Patagonia. Patagonia is named Land of the Big Feet, as in giants. They're going to meet with someone who an Admiral Byrd wrote in his diary before he was sequestered out of the public eye. The most famous polar explorer in history wrote about the king of the earth living in a subterranean kingdom with advanced flying craft and all sorts of conquering longevity, etc., etc. Now, this is a critical point that people have got to understand. The tunnels that are under the desert southwest, the tunnels that go out of the Peruvian city of Cusco, the Coricancha, the Chincana. The Chincana is the tunnel, and the Coricancha is the convent, if you will, the giant cathedral over the tunnels. Why are the governments of the world so busy at covering it up? Well, they're covering up for one reason, because giants are coming, and as you've heard Tom Horn quote the Septuagint, to fulfill the wrath of God. And I want to read something, Tom. There's a movement in the Christian church that they're claiming that they're the army of Joel. Now, I don't pay any attention to nonsense, but someone said, do you realize that's going on? Let me tell you, it goes to Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to just read about four scriptures, you know, four verses. This is talking about the supernatural army of God that he releases. And let me read this. Joel chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. Now listen to this. This is talking about the giant army that's coming. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows, okay? Like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun, the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Okay, I've read that a bunch of times over my life, but I never got it until just the other day, the other morning. I felt like I finally got understanding, and I felt, and take this to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, what is this all about? And he said, the genetic creations that Satan is creating and going to bring on the world scene will be met by that which I've already formed to combat them. Now, you can argue about, you know, whether you believe this is true or not, but you know, how many times have you quoted Ezekiel's, you know, vision of the dry bones? Come from the four winds, O Spirit of God, and breathe upon these bones, when God asked Ezekiel the question. I don't think, Tom, that most people can embrace. I know they can't, okay? The only reason we can articulate and understand and hopefully help others to understand is because God's opened our eyes on this. But why is this critical? What does this have to do with salvation? The answer is everything. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 18, it talks about men trafficking in men's souls. Can I say something, Doug? Well, of course, I'll say it anyway. It sickens me that such a lackadaisical approach from mainstream, believianity, that's a new word for me, mainstream believianity, isn't vomiting and crying out to God for his mercy, because even the human sacrifice of these little people, and I'm talking little human beings, even the blood, the gore, the cannibalism, the pizza parties with children's parts on the crust, the horrific abominations that Thomas just talked, and yet, can I tell you something? There's almost relative silence. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. It's the biggest deal in the world, and yet the people would fight. Now, someone said, well, how do you know that's not human beings? Simple. All these guys march in their own ranks. If this were talking about Christians, man, they'd be having each man's sword against his brother, and there'd be nothing but a bloodbath. But here's the thing that I think, Tom, you talked about, that's really actually pretty true. They shall run like mighty men. And you've taught through the times we've been on the radio and written about it that even Nimrod began to become a Gibarim. That's another word for a giant. Do you want to take it from here and go where you want? Look, we jump around a lot, but ladies and gentlemen, we're giving you, how do I say this, 6,000 years of recorded history. We're giving you 6,000 years of hidden history. We're giving you tidbits, and by the grace of God, and thank you for your prayers and your financial support, when you buy Tom's book or my book or our DVDs or whatever, you're helping us. And, you know, it's amazing that we couldn't do this without, the listeners and the viewers. So I want to say our heartfelt Thank you. And I've got grown military guys and guys with more stars than most people believe exist telling me that they've seen some of the bravest guys fighting these things. Now, you challenge me on this. You take it to the Lord and say, is he telling the truth? Who said that men's hearts fail him? They've watched the toughest guys in the natural literally die of heart attacks. So look, what's going to keep us? What's going to keep us is the supernatural power of God. But God is a spirit of truth. And you cannot just turn your eyes apart from the slaughter, the wickedness, the horror, and say it doesn't matter to you. If it is, you're not my brother, and I'm not your brother. And you may ask yourself this, on Judgment Day, will Jesus say, depart from me, ye who work iniquity, I never knew you. This is serious stuff, Tom, and I got to say this. You know, for a certain point, maybe we were entertaining to some people, maybe the mockers and scoffers and all out there, but at a very near junction in time, I'm talking very near, people's hearts will start to fail them for fear. I'm talking normal earthlings, because this thing with Podesta, this thing with all of the gore, the Satanism, the human cannibalism, the human sacrifice, the blood vampirism, God knows, Father in heaven, I have run out of words. Only the Spirit of God can make known to people the reality of what we talk about. Go ahead, Tom, because what we're talking about is relevant.
Yeah, and Steve, there is another connection between not only the occultism that is connected through the WikiLeaks revelations to Hillary Clinton and the Podestas and Marina and all those people, and to Aleister Crowley in particular, and to Gateways. And so now think about this, because you'll remember some of this, Steve, that it was maybe 8 years ago, 10 years ago, you and I were doing a series of shows. And I did, at the time I did some with J.R. Church and Gary Stearman. So these are up on Prophecy in the, if they're still up there, they're still up there, but they're on YouTube. People could go and watch these to verify what we're talking about. We were just simply talking about the idea of, you know, supernatural portals, doorways, openings, how that concept was an ancient one. Gateways between our world and other dimensions like CERN is committed to finding that not only do they exist, but those doorways can be open and that there are entities through which they can pass. Well, at one point on those programs, it's one of the ones I was doing with Gary Stearman or J.R. Church, and I had started talking about Aleister Crowley. But more in particular, Jet Propulsion Laboratory founder Jack Parsons. Now, I'll tie this into Hillary Clinton in a moment. And L. Ron Hubbard, the Church of Scientology founder. And the kind of alien belief system that L. Ron Hubbard incorporates into his Scientology, which, by the way, is neither religion nor science, but be that what it is the very kind of religion that seems to come through with the Podesta emails and Thelema and all of that. Why? Because in the 1900s, Aleister Crowley, as you know, he attempts to create a dimensional vortex. They're trying to bridge a gap between our world, the world of the seen and the unseen. And isn't it ironic, and I don't want to get off track here, but the occultists believe more in what the Bible talks about often than what Christians do, but that, having said that, so he's trying to open this doorway, and he conducts this thing called the Amalantra working. And Crowley says he was successful. He says this presence came through after so many attempts. He's using sex magic. He's using spirit dinners. He's using all the stuff that the Podesta emails are about, trying to open this doorway. And he says he creates a rift. People can go to Google and type in Lam, L-A-M, and they can see a portrait of the creature that he drew, and keep in mind that this was, what, 100 years ago, 90 years ago, when he did the Amalantra working, and his lamb creature looks very much like the alien greys of later pop culture. Well, so fast forward a little ways, and Aleister Crowley, you know, L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons were students of his. They were part of the OTO and some of his religious ideas. But in a lot of ways, Crowley didn't like them. He thought they were knuckleheads. But L. Ron Hubbard, Jack Parsons, Parsons later blew himself up. He started the Jet Propulsion Laboratory that to this day has monster contracts with U.S. government. And Hubbard has his monster associations with many of those Hollywood elite who were at the big spirit dinner consuming the nude body thing that went on at the Los Angeles Museum of Contemporary Art this year. But, okay, so be that what it is, you can see the connections exist. So these guys decide in 1946 that they're going to try to repeat what Aleister Crowley had done in opening a doorway, a portal. And so they call their attempt the Babylon Working. And they didn't spell it B-A-B-Y, they spelled it B-A-B-A-L-O-N, the Babylon Working. But the whole purpose behind this was to, through sex magic, spirit dinners, all that, to open a doorway in the hopes that they would incarnate the Whore of Babylon. They wanted to bring this demon child through, this Gibberine. And Parsons wrote that the ritual was successful, and there was a point in which this brownish yellow light came through the doorway, and at that moment he knew it knocked over a candlestick and all this stuff. He writes about it in his bio. But he knew that they had been successful. Now, it's interesting that following Crowley's magic portal and then Parsons and Babylon's work, Crowley dies in 1947. The Babylon Working is done in 1946, but it ties to 1947 in a way that I'll explain in just a moment. But that's the same year that the UFOs started appearing all over the place. They crash in Roswell, New Mexico, and our dearly departed brother David Flynn wrote one of the most incredible articles ever, in which he tied that, this is important, to the years 2012 through 2016. I don't think, by the way, that David Flynn was even aware that those were the same years that 700-year-old Zohar prophecies, the rabbis in Jerusalem now that are talking about a messianic era, I don't think he was even aware of all that, how many seers down through history had said the same thing. A door is going to open in 2012, it's going to ultimately lead to the arrival of Antichrist in the Hebrew calendar year 5773, which started in October of this year and goes to the end of September of 2017. But here's why this is also important, and I'm just going to put this out there. The Babylon Working explicitly stated the goal of transforming traditional values using very high dark ritual magic aimed at incarnating this archetypal divine feminine who was going to change our culture through her influence, and it's a matter of record that feminism was sown into the public consciousness from the ivory towers of academia shortly subsequent to Jack Parsons' dark invocations that were carried out in 46, and the Babylon Working that was supposed to give birth to this magical being, this moon child, Crowley described it, using, and I don't know, Doug, if you go into this, but this very powerful ninth degree sex magic. This is from the Liber, what is it called? Alvel Legis, whatever it is, the book of the law.
I had it in my notes here just moments ago. But yes, I believe that is exactly what that is. And yes, I do. The year 1947, as you are describing it, and as Steve Quayle has talked about it and written about, amazing correspondence in itself that has to do with major, well, grid points on Earth, mm-hmm. as well as other places, the number 9, various other biblical and mystical numerology, and as it relates to even today, what's going on in the emails and what's going on in Hollywood and in the highest levels of government. Yes.
Well, and David Flynn showed how that if you took the location, and Steve might have to help me with this, but the location of the Roswell crash site, it was directly related to the 33rd, which is a Masonic number, parallel. If you do a straight line from that, it went right through the center of Mount Hermon where the Watchers descended. So there was some very, very, very powerful, high-level occultism here. So I know we got other stuff to cover. Let me just say this real quick. Parsons believed that he and Hubbard had accomplished their task in these rituals, 1946. In fact, you can read Parsons' biography, and he preserves this celebratory statement regarding the embodiment of the Whore of Babylon in a child. He didn't say where. He just said that a female child was conceived, and that she would be born 9 months later. She was conceived in 1946, and he compared it to the Immaculate Conception. And he said she'll be born in 9 months' time from now. He said exactly, Babylon is incarnate on the earth today. She's awaiting the proper hour of her manifestation, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you can believe any of that magic, then you would believe that in 1947, a woman was born who would rise to international prominence, and she would become an outspoken feminist, and she would have the political clout to influence, even guide the nations of the world. And so I'm just putting this out there. It's interesting that Hillary Clinton was born in 1947. She still offers the most promise, in my opinion, for identifying the Theruda Parsons infamous ritual. She was considered by many to be the front runner in the 2006 national U.S. presidential election. But here's my point. Hillary Clinton, was it just a coincidence that top government assistants to her were involved with people practicing the very occult magic that was used in the Babylon working, in the Thelemic religion, in the Alastair Crowley religions, in the spirit dinner religions, to incarnate a female child when Hillary was conceived and born? Some of the people around her, I'm telling you, If you want to add something to your investigation, and I know you are a licensed investigator, Doug, look into that, because it couldn't possibly be a coincidence. It would be so extraordinary that the people around her were practicing all this magic that was tied to the Babylon working, and the very year that she was conceived and born. I mean, if you put any stock in that religion at all, which of course they will. Here's one last little thought, and then I'll get past this whole Hillary thing. But it appears right now today she's not going to be the president. Who knows if she'll be healthy enough to run the next time around in 2020. But if she does run, guess what? She'll be 72, the highest occultic number in the stratosphere connected to the Watcher sciences and the whole idea of the incarnation of the Whore of Babylon.
And there it
is. I would like to...
Steve,
hey, Doug, I'd like to echo one other thing, Tom. When the Nazis were into their spiritism, and Dietrich Heydrich and all the others who were deep in the Annenerbe and the occult, the Thule Society, everything that made Germany in those days seek answers from the occult, I literally had a very, very prominent special operations general tell me that he said, Steve, go watch the movie Hellboy. And in that movie, and I'm not telling people to watch it, I'm just telling you what he said. He said, what you see there was the actual, listen to this, the actual recreation of the first Nazi Stargate that they were able to, if you will, spiritually and mechanically, electromechanically, open up. Now, I don't recommend people see Hellboy, but in 1947, that's the same year that we were at war with the Nazis in the South Antarctica, where their flying machines destroyed ours. And remember, the Germans themselves made the same statement, that it wasn't that they were brighter than the scientists in the West, it's that they had spirit help and supernatural help from other dimensions. When you see a man of Dr. Wernher von Braun's caliber of genius and intellect making that statement, it's time the people wake up and understand this. And again, here's what is critical. For all those of you wondering why Tom and I are talking about this with Doug Hagman on this night, which is whatever, the 28th of November, 2016, is God said his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People have tried to spiritualize that. They've tried to conceptualize it. They've tried to marginalize it. They flat out deny it. But notice this, Tom, you made a statement. The occultists believe more in the Bible, not in redemption or in Jesus, obviously that, but they do understand. They know how this plays out. I once saw a Satanist with horns implanted in his head up in Kalispell, Montana. Actually, his whitefish, and he had a T-shirt saying, and I think I said this on a show years ago, but the T-shirt simply said this: Christians, your times are coming. And so, you know, obviously direct threat and implied. The blood of the innocents is so critical to these festering pustules of satanic wickedness that it has to be, again, primary and in front of everybody what is happening in Acapulco right now. Used to be the, you know, party capital of Mexico. The drug cartels are now resorting to, guess what, beheading people and cannibalism and taking out hearts. Gee, that, you know, Tom, don't you and I look at a bunch of codexes from the days of the Aztec and Inca and Mayan? What do they show? People taking out hearts. So this whole ritual symbolism that's taking place in Hollywood, I don't think you know the gentleman, but he's listening to the show tonight, I would guess. He told me that he's a producer of pretty big movies. I mean, you know, really big movies. He says, Steve, I can't even sleep in the city. I have to go out in the valley. He said, I have to put a Bible open, claim God's protection, cover myself with Jesus. His words, he said, it's not who is involved in Satanism, it's who isn't. And he said, if you aren't, you basically are booted out, and by the grace of God, there are Christians in Hollywood that are trying to make a difference, and actors and actresses, but to a large extent, the whole thing has been given over. So why this is critical is every thought formed, all the Illuminati, the globalists, if you will, telepresence of hell, and let's just, you know, I still think it would have been better to call it Hellavision, H-E-L-L-A vision, versus television or telescreen, but the point is that, look at, I went into a
Steve,
store,
Steve,
you know.
Brother, I got to stop you there, man. We're right up against it, but man, Hellavision is a good term in adding that book, or that to the book of Quailisms. Stay right where you're at, folks. We're going to be right back. Quayle and Tom Horn, both men of just tremendous intellectual prowess. I mean, can you hear it? Can you feel it? My goodness, so lucky to have them both on with us. Very quickly, before we get back to Steve and Tom, you know, until midnight tonight, that's how quick this sale will end. Midnight tonight, go to MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. They've got the catalog of rocket stoves. That's MinutemanStove.com. Place an order for a stove from right this minute until 11:59 Eastern time tonight. Use the promo code Hagman, and you'll receive a Minuteman rocket stove plus a free forever size half inch 100,000 inch or 100,000 striker, a free 1 pound bag of Maya sticks, and free shipping, which that alone is huge savings, all for their regular price of $169.95. That's a $63 savings and has never been offered before. So right now, folks, go to MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Use the promo code Hagman. Get this, because it will not be offered again. Midnight tonight, that's the deadline. Midnight Monday, the 28th of November 2016. MinutemanStove.com for a savings of $63 with the promo code Hagman. Our guests, Steve Quayle and Tom Horn. Steve was in the middle of talking about Hellavision and well, Steve, go ahead and continue, brother.
Well, I'll finish it up and give it back to Tom. You know, if you look at, like, Costco, I looked at the top 100 items being sold on Black Friday, and what an appropriate name, okay? And the deal is that I think 55 of the top items were all Hellavision sets, okay? I'll just start calling them what I nicknamed them. But what's fascinating, I want to throw this out to you, Doug, to Tom and everyone. You know, when we were being even in what would you say, indoctrinated in the world of television, where basically Marshall McLuhan said the medium is the message. It's not that the message will be carried by the medium. Imagine imagine this. I'm going to leave you with this. I won't go any deeper right now. But imagine when all of those people are so enamored with their television sets when the announcement, the annunciation comes on, and each man hears these entities in his own language, and the television sets will open up to be portals. Now, I'm telling you something there, and that's all I'm going to say at this point, because that's all I have freedom to say. Imagine a 70-inch, your very own television portal, but you're not going to like what comes through it. Hey, Tom, I just sent you an email, and this is really good. This is one that you should answer. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but from Pastor Don. He said, will you comment on the John Podesta seeming obsession with alien disclosure being forthcoming and how that can next with the Spirit Dinner Connections? Go ahead and take that one if you wouldn't mind. This is critical because I think I know where Pastor is going with this, and I think you can answer it, and it's it will be a blessing to a lot of people.
Well, let's just say you know that the portals are set to open. There is a great deception that is coming, and by this concerted effort at CERN in particular, and that, you know, when you look at the book Abaddon Ascending, that's mostly you know, the kind of the primary focus, if you will. Why did Sergio Bertolucci, the science director at CERN, why did he say we are going to open a doorway and we are going to maybe send something through it? But he said something may come through from a parallel dimension into our reality, and he literally referred to it as unknown unknowns. They're not even hiding the fact that they're trying to open a doorway, but then add to the fact that you've got CERN's own employees conducting what they called a parody of a human sacrifice in front of the god Shiva. Shiva being the god that destroys at the molecular level and then reassembles the earth. So from the horse's mouth, they're telling us they're trying to open a doorway into a parallel reality. Soon, those televisions that you're talking about probably are going to come on, and the whole world is going to stop in its tracks. You're going to have the Pope, Petrus Romanus. You're going to have the leader of the United States. You're going to have the leader of Britain. You're going to have the leader of the United Nations. They're all going to walk down into the well of the Assembly of the United Nations, and they're going to say, we are in contact with an extraterrestrial intelligence. That's one way it might happen. The other way is suddenly we wake up, the whole world's paralyzed. We're kind of like Will Smith in that movie, you know, Independence Day, where you don't even know what's going on. You walk outside and all of a sudden the giant shadow of a giant craft is hovering over the top of Washington, D.C. and other major cities of the world. This would be an event that would literally stop the world in its tracks. And I have been one for a long time who believes that this is going to be part of Abaddon Ascending, the appearance of the Antichrist, the man of sin, who at first is going to appear to be, you know, a savior. He's going to be the guy with all the answers to all of our problems. I don't believe it's going to be Donald Trump, by the way. I'm not listening to the mystical rabbis in Israel that are saying that, you know, the numeric value of his name, the gematria of his name, means Messiah. I'm going to probably go into some of that on the Jim Baker show here pretty quick, here in a few days, but so there's a kind of great deception that's going on. But how does it tie in then to Hillary and the Podesta emails? Well, first of all, because the Podesta emails between me and Josh Peck, and now it sounds like Doug and others, you know, we've been using systems that can scan those emails and pick up certain keywords, and we have found literally dozens of emails in which Podesta was communicating with people that are Roman Catholics, some of part of the Vatican, others who, you know, that worked formerly in aeronautics, and some of them who are just, you know, musicians or whatever. But there is a community, there is an occult community, and they're talking very intimately about how in the year 2017 we are going to be at official disclosure. How do we begin preparing people for official disclosure? So why are they talking about this as if it's a done deal? That's a mystery to me. This is something we're going to continue to investigate, but it is very much also connected to the opening of doorways and portals, as Aleister Crowley and Marina Abramovic and the Spirit Dinner people and all of these occultists. What they're trying to do really goes back further. It goes back to ancient Egyptian. It's the deepest part of the darkest part of Freemasonic belief that we are going to raise Osiris. And Osiris is going to take his place. Osiris is the Egyptian equivalent, if you will, to Apollo of the Greeks. And that's why when you look at the Great Seal of the United States, it talks about this day that's coming when there's going to be the dawn of a new world order. It, too, by the way, has encoded on it, and we've done whole shows on this before, that something began in the year 2012 that's going to reach its finality in the Hebrew calendar year 5777, which is October of this year through September of next year. Are they right? I don't know, but they are definitely believers. These people completely believe that something is going to happen that is going to stop the world in its tracks. Now, here's the bigger question. Probably at the core of the new book, Abaddon Ascending, is the question. If Abaddon is going to rise from the underworld, you look at the book of Revelation, the whole world, Steve, you said a moment ago that that people are going to freeze in their tracks. The whole world, it says, is going to wonder. They are going to be stopped in their tracks when he that was and is not is also going to be again. When he rises up from out of the underworld and takes his place in the person of the Antichrist. How does that resurrection science work? This was one of the questions that we deal with in the book Abaddon Ascending. And very quickly, I should say, thank you, Doug, for mentioning that you went to SkyWatchTV.com, clicked on it, went into the store. That has not been connected to the store until just before I came, because we are in a countdown. We're counting down to December 6th. This will be the biggest giveaway in the history of our company, but I decided that because I was going to be on the Hagman Show, and we appreciate you guys so much and your audience, that we would actually unhide that so that people who are listening to this program can go there and get in the front of the line. But people need to know this. It isn't going to last very long. First come, first serve, while supplies last, $400 in free DVDs, Bible software, free books, audio sets, all this stuff. But I guarantee you that something of this scope is not going to be there very long. So if you're interested, you need to do it right away. Okay.
Just take care of Bob and Maggie. They just ordered it, and they're good friends of the program. And of course, you get more people. So just make sure.
Well, anybody that orders it that's listening to your program is going to be okay. I have ordered trainloads. Steve Quayle's been to my warehouse. He knows we have 20,000 square feet of pallets of this stuff. But we don't really know what to expect this time. We've had major sales before, but we have never done anything like this. It could go crazy. It could melt down our servers. It probably will. We've brought in all kinds of extra help.
Yeah.
We don't know. But we did it. I'm glad to do it. People can give it away as Christmas gifts. They can keep it. They can resell it for all I care. Somebody emailed today and said, can I order 100 instead of one? And I said, yeah, just whatever, but it's only while it lasts. Okay, so I just wanted to say thank you for saying that, but people need to know that just because you said that doesn't mean if they're listening to this program in 3 weeks from now that that's going to be up there. But anyway, this great big question, how does resurrection science work? This has always been something interesting to me, and I use the term science kind of really loosely because we may be talking about physics, we're probably talking about metaphysics, but it's still something that employs both supernaturalism but also dynamic law, because God used particles and physics to create. That's why they called, tongue-in-cheek, that's why they called the Higgs boson the God particle, because they're trying to understand what gives mass, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to have Josh Peck, as I understand it, on the program in a couple of weeks from now.
Sure.
And
yes,
he's the guy to ask all these complex questions about physics, not me, right? But the point is, how do they return, and does it involve gateways, doorways? Now, again, I can't let the cat out of the bag, but there were real reasons why me and Steve Quayle, his film crew, and all of us were in the Four Corner area of the United States recently. And we'll be back to this now in a month from now or 6 weeks from now, whenever we can start talking about it. But people need to make a note of this. Take one of them little yellow post-it notes and put it on your computer screen that says, keep listening to Tom Horn and Steve Quayle, because this is going to be the biggest thing we've ever done in terms of answering this question about gates, doors. Not only how do they come back when they are going to come back, and is it starting to happen now? Let me just put it that way. So note that. Now, in between, so here we go. How does resurrection science work? In between the so-called first incursion, I don't know if I like that term. A lot of people use it, but let me just use it because people are familiar with it. The first incursion of giants. Now, these are the antediluvian giants. These are the pre-flood giants. And Steve Quayle's masterful documentary, the second documentary Steve put out, I watched it basically and said, I'm done as a filmmaker. It is the best, without doubt. I'm not saying this to sell video. I'm telling you, I swear, this is the truth. The documentary that Steve Quayle has out right now, number two in his series, is without doubt better than anything that History Channel or any of those people have ever even dreamed of making. It was the best documentary I've ever seen, and I immediately went public and said that when I saw it. But it deals with this first incursion, the first giant, and the cover-up of the evidence for the megalithic builders of the first giants who were here, and a lot of the stuff that goes on, that's going on, Peru, all these places. But in between that incursion, and then the prophesied future return of these hybrid monstrosities, which is biblical, there is what some people call this second incursion of, now, call them what you want, Nephilim, Anakim, Gibborim, even Nimrod, the builder of Babel. This post-flood presence of giants is confusing to a lot of people because 2 Peter 2:5 talks about how all the ungodly were destroyed in Noah's flood. Genesis 7 confirms all the souls but those on board the ark killed in the deluge, including the original Nephilim. So how did the giants come back after the flood? This is really kind of a central question in theology. How did they come back? And is it related to metaphysical gateways? Well, some people believe that the answer to that question is that different watchers repeated the original sin of the angelic of their angelic brothers after the flood, giving birth, in other words, to a second crop of Nephilim. And there are Hebrew scholars that look at the phrase in Genesis 6:1-2, when men begin to multiply, and they say that can accurately be translated not just when, but whenever, meaning, in other words, this is something that could be repeated, and that Genesis 6:4 might imply that when it says there were giants in the earth in those days, that is, before the flood, and also after that, Moses writes, meaning after the flood. So this is a repeatable sin. Now, if that's how the giants returned immediately after the flood, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying if that theory is right, then it would kind of make sense that a lot fewer were generated the second time around because the watchers would have been aware of and feared the judgment that had befell the original watchers. And so very few of them would have been crazy enough to do it again because the first ones are confined in everlasting chains under darkness, according to Jude. Now, there's a second, more intriguing possibility, and we go into this in Abaddon Ascending. And this one involves occultism, so I'm kind of trying to slowly get back to answering this pastor's question about how this is involved with the Podesta emails and all that. High-level magic may have been used to raise the dead Nephilim back into bodies of flesh. There is a point where Steve and I, in the coming year, are going to go into this further than we've ever gone before. And not just because I'm going back to the house of the temple to meet with 33rd degree Freemasons. I've already confirmed a lot of that in Apollyon Rising. But there is reason to believe that occultists may possess antediluvian watchers' information that survived the flood. I'll go into that in a second. Now, and by the way, I understand that people are listening to this and they're saying, forget it, the guy's lost his ever-loving mind. It's too impossible to believe. There couldn't possibly be magic, right, that somehow occultism, Watchers level, angelic technology that could reanimate the dead giant. But so let me just share this. According to the Book of Jubilees, and the Book of Jubilees is considered to be canon by some Orthodox churches, and also the Jews love it. But according to Jubilees 8:1-5, I'm not going to quote this whole thing. People can go and read it. But Canaan, Noah's grandson, he finds the antediluvian secrets of the Watchers after the flood. And then he hides that information because he knows it'll make Noah mad. But it contained the teachings of the Watchers. This is the information that modern 33rd degree level Freemasons claim to be in possession of. But so did Alia, I think. Now, Aleister Crowley never admitted it, but a lot of the stuff that he talks about in the Thelema religion smacks of possession of the Watcher's knowledge for the purpose of these blood rituals and the other things that they did to reanimate dead Nephilim. By the way, Steve, I can't go into this yet, but Ali just uncovered some Smithsonian-level research that talks about the cannibalizing of the Anasazi for the express purpose of the individuals who are participating in these occult rituals, which Dr. Don Mose told us about. It changes them. It rewrites their DNA, and it allows them to become fit extensions for the reanimation of the giant. This is something that Timothy Alberino in Peru is scratching at the surface of, where they know where the graves of the giants are, and the children of the Peruvians, some of them, will go and they'll lay down at night, part of their masculinity rituals, their growing up rituals, when they're coming of age, so that they can absorb the energies of the dead Nephilim. In any case, Spirit of the Watchers. But remember, Steve, when we did the programs in which we talked about the magic bracelet?
The Kasetot.
Yeah. So I think that the secret teachings of the Watchers that was recovered by Canaan could have contained a formula for raising the spirit of dead Nephilim in use with these magic bands, bracelets, these magic bands, also magic beds. And that's, of course, if Jubilees can be believed. But why do I think that there could be some credibility there? Because the Bible itself seems to allude to the efficacy of that ancient dark art. If you read the book of Ezekiel, I'm trying to find it here, Ezekiel 13:8, here's what it says. It says, "Will you haunt the souls of my people, and will you save?" Now, this is the Hebrew kaya, which means to restore to life. Will you restore to life the souls alive that come unto you, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save, there it is again, restore to life, the souls alive that should not live? "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your kasetot," that's the word in the Hebrew, your magic bands, which were used for binding and loosing souls. "I'm against them wherewith you hunt the souls to make them fly." Now, this is the Hebrew word parak, which means to fly away, but alternatively, it can mean this, get this, to sprout up from out of the ground. "And I will tear them," he's talking now about the bracelets again, "I will tear them from your arm, and I will let those souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly." So, and that's Ezekiel 13:18-20, if people want to read that. The kasetot was this magic armband that was used in connection with a container called the keith. But this text in Ezekiel is interesting in the context of the upcoming research between me, Steve Quayle, and literally dozens of people, and these film crews, and also the book Abaddon Ascending, and Steve's current documentary. when you combine that with the biblical idea of binding and loosing. Okay, it's almost 8 o'clock. I'm getting drugged down here. I want to go into Job 38.
Well, here, let me say something, Tom, to kind of give you a rest and let you regroup. Doug, I think people have got to understand something. How can we, Tom Horn and I, and Tim Alberino, who's the younger version of us, you know, thank God he's half my age and got 20 times the energy, but and he's done a marvelous job, but he speaks the language and has lived in Peru, and I'm hoping that people will understand something. Now, I want to share something. Because people have been asking, you know, they want to go on some of these expeditions, True Legends is putting together a VIP expedition and conference, and it's going to be June the 11th through the 18th in Cusco, Peru. And I'm going to twist Tim's arm to maybe share. He's never done it publicly, and I think I've referred to it once, but if you were to hear his testimony, it's probably one of the most remarkable testimonies of salvation from a PK. He was a preacher's kid who literally went to the most remote part. I mean, the guy is born in Cleveland, I think, and then the thing is he goes to the remote part of the Amazon to find and meet the Lord in his wilderness experience. Well, God obviously in those years, formative years in Tim's life, put him in contact with a lot of different individuals. And the stories he tells about the things that go on in the jungle where there are jungle spirits and literally the encounters he had are just actually mind-blowing. But let me put this way. We're limited to 20 guests. It's going to be a five-star expedition. We're going to Cusco. I'm going to be one of the speakers. Anselm P. Rambla, who's featured in The Unholy See, one of the most famous archaeologists in the world when it comes to underground tunnels, civilizations, etc. Tim's going to be talking, and we're going to take people right into the heart of this. You know, obviously, Ollantay Tambo, what we call pre-flood architecture. This was the big giants. Fascinatingly enough, the late David Flynn, and I hate to call him late because I know that when I speak of David, I speak of him always in the contemporary, realm because his work lives on. Obviously, he's already in heaven with the Lord, but his work is a living work. It's a living revelation. And I want to say this about David. I knew him personally. I obviously, met with him in Helena. He came to Bozeman. We would talk for hours. And to say this, that one afternoon session with him is like your mind melts, and to that God gave a gifting. But I also believe that God did with David Flynn until David's time was up to go to be with the Father. I believe God gave him a time-sealed revelation. And the time-sealed revelation has everything to do with the Altiplano in Peru and Bolivia, and also so much of the stuff Cusco. David is the one that basically proposed that there was a language, and it would have had to have been written by fallen angels, literally inscribed into the geoglyphs that Tim and I, basically, Tim went down there and filmed, and we produced The Unholy Sea, which is the DVD number 2, and True Legends, the first one. But I guess what I want to tell people, we've already got 50% of it. So we've already got 10 people lined up. It's limited to 20. And if they want to take a look at the conference and understand what we're doing, it's TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. You must, and I say this not because, quote, we did the DVD, but you must get a hold of those DVDs and be following us. Because just as David Flynn left his fingerprints on the research that we're now building off of and referring to, especially his book, Cydonia, The Secret Chronicle of Mars, the thing that people have got to understand, that Cusco is where it all begins. It's where Sir Francis Bacon literally called it the navel of creation. It's where the Shinkana, the underground tunnel system, it's where all of the giants who built the massive structures, it wasn't built. By the way, no place in Aztec, Inca, or Mayan writing do they claim they built anything that they inhabited. They came in. They talk about the giants that came from the east, the blonde-haired giants. There are codexes, illustrative drawings of literally even the Aztecs and the Incas and the Mayas, different indigenous tribes there, sacrificing blonde-haired, fair-skinned men on their sacrificial altars and tearing their hearts out. It's on my website today on the Vikings coming into South America. So history, as you know, it is a scam. So go on TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. It's first come, first served. It's going to be, I think, an opportunity of a lifetime to not only see it, but remember this. Once you begin to take the first step, you'll begin to go on a trek of understanding. And I know that not everybody can go, so that we're going to have a small film crew there to be able to bring you the highlights of the trip and stuff. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so please, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who want to go, go on TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. You'll see our VIP expedition and conference. It's going to be, you know, 6 days in-country, and probably with the most remarkable findings by one of the most remarkable archaeologists in the world, and some of the most in-your-face, giant, cyclopean architecture that is scaled so far above and beyond normal human capability. So,
Steve,
again, TrueLegendsTheSeries.com.
All right, TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. 1 minute, we'll be back. Stay right where you're at.